Hey everybody, it is so good to have you with me today. We got an amazing topic I know is going to help you so much. Now, if you've been in the Word for a little while, you've heard the phrase, renew your mind. And it's been around for years. We've got some great teachers out there who teach on the renewing of the mind. But I want to dive into it a little bit and really give you some of the mechanics. My brain just kind of works funny. Whenever I hear doctrine, I want to think through what's the practical application. Because so many people have taken verses from the Bible and just beat up Christians and made us believe things that are wrong. Believe it or not, I've lived my whole life in the Bible with great teachers, but there's always teachers coming into conferences or people that you really respect when you're young that teach you things. And then you think it's true, and you find out years down the road that you've believed a lie. And when you believe something that's not true, it creates junk in your life, because for every belief that you have, there's an accompanying consequence. Your beliefs form your behavior. And so much legalism has gotten into Christianity that we really think that we are the ones who are making God happy with us, etc. So as I dive into this, I'm going to show you with what renewing of the mind is, and then let's take a look at some things that the body of Christ has really missed it on, and I believe it's affecting you majorly. All right, Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, here the word bodies means the whole you. That you present the whole you, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Now, the word prove doesn't mean you're trying to impress somebody. It means that you can walk out this good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, Romans 12 goes on to talk about God's grace. It goes on to talk about God's faith. But as we talk about renewing the mind, what are some of the major things that we've got to renew our mind to? We need to be aware of those. And then the process of renewing your mind. All right, so you are a three-part being, body, soul, spirit. You live in this body, this earth suit. You have a mind. And this mind is the gateway. Your eyes, your ears, your mouth, all three of them are, your mouth is saying something, your ear is listening to something, your eye is seeing something, and you're bringing in information. And then you, with your mind, are interpreting that information based on how you've renewed your mind. And so you notice the word renewed. When you give your life to Christ, if you want to live a life with joy and peace, etc., you have to get God's thoughts, God's beliefs, and you've got to meditate on them till they actually renew your mind into a different way. The Bible says that if you do this, that you're going to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, let's look at the opposite. If you don't renew your mind, you won't even have what's good or what's acceptable or what's perfect. Now, a lot of people don't like this, but I do. When I look at these three words, good, acceptable, and perfect, the word good, if someone said, Leon, how are you doing? And I say, I'm good. That's okay. If I say, I'm acceptable, if I say it's perfect, these three words mean different things. If your life is just going good when it comes to the call of God, what you're doing with your life, then it's just good. But the Bible says it's the renewing of your mind that gets you from good to acceptable. And then from acceptable to perfect. Now, some people think, well, you know, that's a lot of pressure, Leon, that I got to find God's perfect will for my life. You don't have to find it. You literally just renew your mind and you'll be it. As you renew your mind to the principles about who you are, who God is, who Jesus is. And as you begin to understand these things, you just naturally live your life out. It's not this hard, trying to find God's will. I got so many friends that need 40-day fasts, and they need to have a week away at a cabin to hear from God for direction, and they have all these things. They need a prophet to prophesy a prophetic word as to where they're going and what they should be doing, and none of these things do I find in the New Testament. Oh, we hear about prayer. We'll hear about fasting. But they've got all of these things in the wrong places. Because when you renew your mind with the way God thinks, you simply will begin to act like God would act. You would act like somebody who's in charge of the planet. If Jesus is the first, the Bible says, child, son of God, and then we are as well, then when we walk this planet, we need to walk in authority. We walk with peace. We walk with joy. We walk with a confidence. And so as we look at this thing called renewing the mind, I want to go to the first thing we're going to talk about that I think is one of the crucial areas that if you don't renew your mind in what I'm about to talk about, you will be easy prey for the devil. He literally will shut you down anytime he wants. And if he can shut you down, then your faith won't work. Then you're not going to live in peace. You're not going to live in joy. You're not going to live in any of these things. Now in Romans chapter 5, verse 17 to 20, it says, "For if by one man's offense, death reigned." It took over the control. It says, "Because of one person, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus." I've always said that it ticks me off that Adam in the garden just couldn't obey God on this. And because he disobeyed him and even disobeyed God, that all of us got put into sin. Every sickness, every disease, every argument, every death, destruction, all the junk that goes on in this world, it's because of sin. But it's because of Adam's sin. And Satan wants you to think that it's because of your sin. And when you begin to go back into legalism, which is the old covenant, then you begin to feel like if you sin, if you do something wrong, that you are disqualifying yourself from the blessing and the peace and the joy of God. Now, none of us want people to sin. I mean, for him that knoweth, the Bible says, if you know to do something good and you don't do it, it's sin. It says, if you're not in faith about something, that's sin. It's if you're just thinking something, that's sin. And then you got all the sins, whatever they are, your worst list. And so, if sin is going to shut God down and his blessing down and his favor on your life down, then there's no way you're going to do this because you've had a negative thought already today. Whether it's about me looking at me in this camera, whether it's about somebody you got mad at, whether it's a sexual thought, whether it's an angry thought, an unforgiving thought, whether it's a thought that was not of faith, because whatever's not of faith is sin. Like when we get taught by people that it's just sin that shuts us down, we literally have a belief system that the enemy just makes, he will literally attack every one of the miracles that you need. And when you begin to believe God for something, money, finances, healing, your career to go to a new place, et cetera, your kids, your grandkids, that if you think for a moment that you qualified yourself, for God's blessing because you were good enough, then what you're telling me is you're better than the other guy that's not getting blessed by God. Jesus totally shut that thought down. When, you know, the Pharisees were sitting there and the way they would pray would be, "Oh Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that sinner. I'm glad I'm not like that tax collector." And they would beat their chest and say, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." When you begin to think that you earn the blessing of God, that you earn the miraculous power of God because you're so good, that's where we get pride in the body of Christ, as people rise up and think that they're all that, that look at me. And then they'll judge others like, "Well, you haven't got your life together. What's wrong with you? What have you done wrong?" But as we go into this, and I'm not saying that as we continue to grow in God, that we should be going off into sin. You shouldn't be ripping people off and stabbing people and we can disobey all that. No, because the world's going to shut you down. But listen to me because it's going to help you as you understand some of the things you've got to renew your mind to. So it says that because of one man's offense, Adam, Death reigns on this planet. Death to relationships, death to your body, death to your mind, your family, your home, death to everything. It comes, but then it says, but because of one man, how much more we receive an abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. And we are going to reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered in the offense that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. One of the crucial things to the Christian life is to have this complete dependence and to renew your mind to scriptures that show us the new covenant. In the old covenant, yes, keep the law after the Mosaic law. Keep that Mosaic law, and you could earn the things that you know that you needed. And if you wanted this promise, you had to be okay with the if. If you'll do this, you can have this. But now in this New Testament, in this new covenant, he is saying to you, stop allowing the devil to attack your mind and go, you're not good enough. You thought something wrong. You didn't give enough. You didn't do this enough. You haven't volunteered enough. So-and-so is going to get healed because they're handing out Bibles and they're volunteering more. No, we want you to give. We want you to volunteer. We want you to get involved. We all need to do something for God. But if you feel like you're earning it, I'll never forget a story I love to tell. And you've probably heard it too, but it needs to be repeated. Of one time praying on a prayer line, and we had this lady in our church who loved to volunteer, but I think she had the wrong motives. She was volunteering to prove herself. She was volunteering to get God to notice her and people to notice her. And so we were praying one day in a midweek service. We would have people come together on a Wednesday night, and then we would teach the word, and then we'd pray for people at the front. And a new person came into the church. You could tell they were literally off the streets, not maybe living on the streets, but you could tell that they did not have their life together by the smells, and you could tell they were alcohol and cigarettes and just things, and the worn look on her face and the fear, the confusion, you know, the tent. It was written on her. And so she gets in line beside this godly Christian lady. Now, I found out when I went to pray with her, she was the first one I prayed for right off the streets, that literally I could tell I don't think she knew God at all. She was there and she had a problem with her arm and her shoulder. And so I just talked to her for a few minutes, let her know that Jesus loved her, that Jesus qualified her for all the blessings, and that healing is one of the blessings. And that when I pray for her, if she would just trust that, okay, you're not getting it because you're good enough, you're getting it because it's a free gift from Jesus. And you could see her just go, oh, because she was in a church. I'm sure she was thinking that I have to be good so that I can get blessed by God. So I just kind of removed all the pressure of be good. Now, in knowing this lady later, I mean, she had not figured out her life with alcohol, with drugs, with sex, with lying, stealing. I mean, she had not got any of her area of her life together. But then when I prayed with her, she was instantaneously healed. And what was remarkable was she would lift her arm up, the pain was gone, she had destroyed the arm somehow, hadn't been able to use it properly, just a little bit. And so the lady, so I just went, oh, the lady beside her now is this lady who's been in our church 10, 15 years, plugs in everywhere, gives everywhere. But she feels like, wow, if God's going to heal her, he's going to heal me because I've been doing stuff. Now, her faith is in the wrong thing. She has not got her mind renewed to God's grace. She's got her mind still thinking that the law is what helps her out. But the Bible says right here that the law, it's here to show us how we can't do it by ourselves. In fact, it says in one of the scriptures here in Romans chapter 5, it says, the law enters that the offense might abound. Anytime you try to obey a law, because you're going to be good enough now. And this law comes in. The law actually makes that sin worse because it's love. It's the right motive. So anyway, I laid my hands on this lady and, oh, she was going to receive a miracle and nothing happened to her at all. I know, because after the service that day, she came up and talked to me and she had tears in her eyes and she was passionately upset. Whenever you see a Christian being passionate, you might think that, well, you know, they must be right. They're so passionate. No, I find a ton of passionate people are passionately wrong. And so she looks at me and she tears in her eyes. She goes, "It's just not right." And I said, "What?" He healed that little, and she had a word for this woman that I don't want to repeat on TV. He healed her, and I'm in here handing out Bibles, volunteering, cooking, doing everything I can for this church, and he won't heal me, and it went off. And I tried to explain to her that you can't earn healing. And once your mind goes towards you've earned it, you're good enough for it, you're sin-free enough, etc., that you literally shut down the miraculous power of God. I've always found that when people begin to feel like they've lived their life in such a way that why wouldn't God do this, that they are moving back into the old covenant, and there they are trying to get a miracle to happen. And I'm promising you, sir, we want you to live your life right. Yes, please don't hit someone, slap somebody. Please get your life together, because you can mess it up. But God's favor and God's blessing is a free gift, because Jesus qualified you for this miracle. It's Jesus that qualifies you for the favor of God. God's favor, His grace, is on your life, and you have to believe it. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, "For by grace are you saved through faith." So as you believe, and faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. As you begin to hear more and more about the cross, the throne, what Jesus did when he died, then he rose again. And you begin to realize that the favor and the blessing of God is upon you because of Jesus. And then the power of Jesus is there. His grace is not just his favor. One of the favors his grace gives you is the power to live right. His grace is on you. You don't have to deal with temptation where you're just struggling and sweating as you look at that alcohol or that drugs. No. His grace, his power helps you to live. And so my encouragement to you is, until we go back to Romans 12 and recognize that you need to renew your mind with the Word of God, begin to study, begin to read. If you have to go to our website and order in more messages about what is does the new covenant say, and just begin to renew your mind, all of a sudden as you feed on the Word, you just begin to believe. I'm highly favored of God. I'm favored of God because Jesus took my sin, past, present, and future. He took the punishment that goes with that sin, past, present, and future, so that the blessing and the favor of God would always be on me. Someone said to me, "Well, Leon, why would God do that? That encourages people to sin." Actually, I find that when people get stuck in sin because of legalism, they never make it out. But when people realize God's grace is on them, even if they slip and fall or fall into sin or make a mistake, they now know the grace of God is there to give them the ability to rise up, to get out of that, to move on, to be okay. And so this is a crucial thing. Make sure that you study on your own Romans chapter 5. Verses 17 to 20. And that way, as you renew your mind to this truth, your heart will be at peace. Otherwise, according to Romans chapter 8, it says, "Now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Those who are in Christ Jesus. So when Jesus is your Lord of your life, He qualifies you. He blesses you. I've had so many people where I've been by their beds as they're dying, and they'd say, and we'd pray and believe God as family and friends and be praying with them. And then just before they die, with all the family gone, they'd tell me, "It's okay, Pastor, don't worry about it. I didn't want anybody to know, but when I was a young girl, I got an abortion. Or when I was a young man, you know, I just did some things I shouldn't have done. And I just know that that's why this is here." So their misbelief is what's killing them. God's not withholding healing. They just don't even understand the new covenant. They don't even understand that God's grace is on them, that He's forgiven them, that the curse that went with every action went on Jesus, that now when you come to God, you come humbly, knowing, "I've never earned it. I don't have anything that I can say I've done good enough to be blessed, but Jesus qualifies me. Jesus is the one. It makes you fall in love with Jesus as you realize he loves every one of us imperfect people and then gives us the power to live the kind of lives we want to live. And we never have to allow condemnation in where the enemy comes in and shuts down the miracle that you need as he begins to show you that you're not good enough, that things aren't working out. There's no way you're going to get this miracle. And he'll have you look at other people who are so amazing. And people have often said to me, Leon, listen, I know so-and-so. They've been praying for years and decades for a miracle of healing and never got it. Good Lord, if they can't get a miracle, I'd never get one because they are so amazing. They know the word. They live so righteous. Again, that's not what brings the power and the favor of God. Isn't you earning it through anything that you do? It's actually believing and knowing I'm never going to be good enough. So God, your grace, your favor is on me so that I can be blessed. And then as I walk out this blessing and enjoy your love, I enjoy your peace, whatever I need to deal with, your grace is also your power. Holy Spirit's the Spirit of grace. He's on the inside of us. His power to take on that alcohol, that addiction. His power to take on whatever you need for miracles in your body, miracles in your finances. It's all yours, and it begins to flow in your life. My goal is to get you to realize who you are because of Jesus, and that's the starting point. Make sure, as we talk about renewing your mind, that you go back to the cross and your identity. Father, I pray blessings upon them right now, that they would just feel so great about who Jesus is, that he qualified them. And that today, whatever they need from you, it comes as a free gift. They don't have to earn it, crank it up, or wait months till they get their life together. You will touch them, bless them right now, and still help them with every change of life they desire to go through. Lord, guide them in this, I pray in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you again next time.